We are on our way to Illinois, and we wanted to stop near the world's biggest truck stop in Iowa. And right next door is Grandma's Country Kitchen, where we all decided to stop because it is sheeting rain, and we needed to pull over. And the guys were 5 minutes ahead of us, so we all pulled over at Grandma's Kitchen, excited for like a really home-cooked meal. And on the menu, the first thing the guys notice is that there's a note that says, if you tell the waitress, I really love eggs, you will get an extra egg added onto your breakfast. So we thought we could say that to anything. I really love hamburgers. Would you please throw another hamburger on there? I really, really love potatoes. We're hoping that it would work, and the waitress like heard us comment about it. We really love coffee or something, and she was like, yeah, it doesn't work for that. She was like a little upset that we like tried to like make fun of their menu, but the fact is that all the men at the table did wink at the waitress and say, I really love eggs, and each man got an extra egg added to their breakfast.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there. I would have said, I really love waitresses.
Welcome. Thanks for subscribing or for streaming or for downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 111, Fall Tour Stories. Our 2009 tours are gearing up again this week, so we wanted to bring you some typical adventures from last fall's tour. You know, on these tours, we do a lot of driving, a lot of eating, and a small, very responsible amount of drinking. So many of the stories reflect that. Wardrobe mistress Chelsea Cashin opened up the Nostalgia Fest at the top of the podcast, and I continued chatting with Chelsea, stage manager Elaine Randolph, and actor Mick Orff, whose previously discussed passion for pie continued on last fall's tour. And didn't you also have fantastic pie? Wasn't there like a contest of a pie contest? You had pie in Rolla, Missouri, but you had already been spoiled, right?
The guys told us, we got to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and it started to get cold, and the guys told us about this fabulous place that they'd stopped at lunch and had the most amazing pie called Norske Nook, which I couldn't remember the name to save my life.
Is that the name of the pie or the town?
That's the name of the company that makes them, and it's apparently formed of, like, you know, Wisconsin grandmothers in a kitchen back there making...
German? Was it German or Dutch?
I think so. There's a certain Norwegian, you know...
They dressed in an oldie, like, St. Pauli girl kind of garb.
Colorful peasant garb.
They were lovely, lovely ladies with, like, nose piercings and, like, pink hair, but, like, in the St. Pauli's girl.
And peasant tops.
Yeah, no, it was lovely.
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
But we did find a place that was near the town that wasn't the same place they'd been, but sold the same kind of Norske Nook pies. And it also happened to be a microbrewery.
Oh, so pie and beer?
So Chelsea and I decided to stop for a late breakfast with Lefske bread and eggs, and then we decided we had to have pie at the end of breakfast. And then they had a microbrewery, so we had to get a case of beer for poker night. So, and we were sitting there discussing very seriously the merits of, should we get 6 Flappin' Crappies?
Flappin' Crappy was my favorite beer.
Wait, Flappin' Crappy is a beer?
Flappin' Crappy is an excellent, want to say, pilsner. It was really light. It was delicious. And then there was honeybee that was delicious. And we ended up getting, was it 6 six-packs or was it 4 six-packs?
Yeah. Our van jingled when we drove after that.
And there's this table of like 10 lodge member men, like, you know, nice, you know, in their 60s, 70s, late 70s old men, just having a good laugh. And we're like arguing, do we want the pills or do we want the lager? Do we want this? And they're like, are you going to be drinking all these now? We're like, soon. And they were for poker night, and we had a very good poker night that night.
I suspect poker night is going to be its own separate podcast.
Yeah, I think that's where a few nicknames crept up, like 2-drink drunky pants.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time for RSEQ and A.
We got email this week from David Daly. We got it from a man named David Daly, but we didn't get it daily. We got it once. And David wrote, having seen both the complete works of William Shakespeare in London, 2001-ish, and the completely Hollywood abridged, Cheltenham, 2004, in the UK, even being coerced to my children's continuing horror to this day into being an extra in a zombie movie, we have now moved to Singapore. Oh, I remember you, David. You were the guy who played the zombie. Have you ever thought of touring to Singapore? Singapore has a couple of pretty good satirical theater companies, quite a good comedy scene, and some great venues. Also a traditional English curriculum in the local schools, so a lot of familiarity with the original source. Love the podcast, and sorry to be missing your current UK tour. We have played in Singapore at least once, if memory serves. We might have been there twice, but I can't really remember. But I know we played there once at the Raffles Hotel in Singapore, and I remember that, speaking of tour stories, I remember we were all very nervous because that kid had just been caned for keying cars, and all I ever thought was, oh well, Singapore, just completely repressive fascistic police state, I don't want to go there, I don't want to take my business there, forget it. But we played The Complete History of America there and got one of the finest responses we've ever gotten to that show anywhere. And Singapore was beautiful. Beautiful, clean. You could eat anywhere. The people were great. The food was wonderful. The Singapore slings, very expensive, however. And I thought, hey, you know, if this is what, repression and fascism, you know, gets you, a nice, clean city with everybody being really friendly, I could take that. So we would love to come back to Singapore, and I hope we can make that happen very, very, very soon.
Hi, this is Niamh Crowley from the West Ocean String Quartet, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This week, our U.S. tour resumes again with us performing completely Hollywood abridged at the Majestic Theater in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this Thursday, January 16th. And next week, our 80-something city tour of the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged in the U.K., resumes with performances at the Courtyard in Hereford, the Torch Theater in Milford Haven, the Northcote Theater in Exeter, and that performance on the 22nd is already sold out. The Octagon in Yeovil and the Code Hall Theater in Bryanston. That's all next week. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for specific tour dates and venue information. And now we have a very special deal for our U.S. podcast listeners only, unfortunately. So anybody who's not in the U.S., please leave the room while I make this announcement. I can wait. Okay, good, good. Now, this week in the U.S., PBS, the Public Broadcasting System, is airing a new documentary on Wednesday, January 14th, called Make 'em Laugh, The Funny Business of America. It's a six-hour comedy documentary showcasing the most hilarious men, women, and moments in American entertainment and why and how they made us laugh. It's hosted by Billy Crystal and narrated by Amy Sedaris, and features interviews and sketches from over 90 comedians and producers such as Judd Apatow, who produced Knocked Up and the 40-Year-Old Virgin, to Roseanne Barr, Arnold, Fortensky Smith, the Smothers Brothers, Carol Burnett, Sid Caesar, George Carlin, Larry David, Will Ferrell, Cheech and Chong, Steve Martin, Chris Rock, Dick Van Dyke, many, 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 many more. And they're also coming out with a 3-DVD set of this documentary. And our friends at DVD Playground are doing a deal for our U.S. podcast listeners. The 3-DVD set sells for $35. In the stores. DVDPlayground.com is selling it for $29.98. However, if you go to DVDPlayground.com and type the word podcast into the search box, you'll come up with a different price, and you'll be able to buy it for only $20.99. So only $21. That's like $14 cheaper than you can get it in the stores. Again, all you need to do to get this deal is go to DVDPlayground.com, go to the search box, type the word podcast into the search box, hit return, and you'll and that special price for podcast listeners will come up for the 3-DVD set of Make 'Em Laugh. But wait, there's more. DVDPlayground.com is doing a similar deal for the Radio Shakespeare Company's Complete Millennium Musical Abridged CD. It's the soundtrack of our stage show, and it has, I don't know, a dozen or so very, very funny songs. It usually sells for $20. And if you, if you go to the search box of DVDPlayground.com, type in the word podcast, the special price of $8.99 will pop up. You can buy the Complete Millennium Musical CD for only $9. That's much cheaper than you could buy it normally and cheaper than downloading it from iTunes. And the other part of that special deal is that you, if you buy both the Make 'Em Laugh DVD and the Millennium CD, the shipping is free. Now, again, this is only for our U.S. podcast listeners with regions, with different regions for DVDs and the cost of overseas shipping. DVDPlayground.com can't do the same deal in other countries, which is unfortunate. But we hope that we can do this deal and do continuing deals like this for our U.S. podcast listeners. So go to DVDPlayground.com. Go to the search box, type in the word podcast, and those deals will come up. And now back to our tour stories. You know, it's not all fun and food and games on the tour. Occasionally, there are technical snafus that need to be ironed out, often, sadly, during a performance. So what was the big technical snafu that happened on the Fall America tour? Elaine Randolph?
The flip chart, the bottom, the screws weren't in tight enough so that when it was brought, when Mick brought it downstage for his American speech,
right.
The bottom wheeled part fell apart. So there he was juggling the pointer, the flip chart, trying to flip pages and keep the bottom together with his feet and talk all at the same time.
And how did that go, Mick Wharf?
It went swimmingly. I was swimming on stage trying to keep it up. It was very hard.
And what did you do afterwards? Well, you got through it.
Why don't you let Chelsea tell what I did afterwards?
All right, what did he do afterwards, Chelsea?
So afterwards, I hear Elaine screaming on headset, "The flip chart is broken. The flip chart is falling apart. Do something about it." And I didn't know whether to go on stage or what. And finally, Mick drags on the five pieces of metal pipe and the 10-pound flip chart and just looks at me dead in the eyes. It. And I got some gaff tape and I got some screw or my Allen wrench and I fixed it.
She was very funny because I told the guy that I was on headset with, I said, "Chelsea probably already knows this, but the flip chart is broken. So she might want to have the Allen wrench in her pocket." So they got it off stage, and like in minutes, she had taped the whole thing together, sent it back on stage, and it still said, "Grow a penis."
That was the best thing.
So they trotted it back on, and it got a big laugh.
Well, and isn't gaffer's tape the stage manager's best friend?
Just from a technical standpoint, the flip chart normally stays on stage, so it was out of character or out of sequence to push it off stage and have it fixed. But then this is a little tip of the hat to the crackerjack crew we've got backstage, because they fixed it and then swung it around and somehow it got back on stage. I think in those, you know, those moments where you like run off stage and say, and then so later on we're gonna have to do this and somehow
we muttered, "Go grab the flip chart when you need it." It, and it's going to be, you know, stage left waiting for you behind the apron. And it was, but it said loud and clear, "Grow penis," when we were supposed to be doing the national anthem, I think.
Perfect.
The new national anthem
the
of
Radio
America.
Shakespeare Company, a well-oiled machine.
You're pretty amazing, Chelsea.
And the America Show, which we toured last fall, featured the two presidential candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, debating and taking questions from the audience. So I asked Mick Orff how that went. So, McWhorf, as John McCain, did you have some great questions that you took from the audience? How did that all go?
You know, my favorite one, of course, was who was the first homosexual president, or the only homosexual president. I don't know what first.
This was a question you got one night?
This was a real question that I got. They said, who was the kid, a child? And I got two jokes out of it because I said, I used our stock line of that's one child I should have left behind.
Right.
And then, of course, I said, the only logical answer, President Polk.
And did you know that that's better than the real answer?
Yes, you told me who the real one.
They say James Buchanan
because he was a bachelor, right?
He was a bachelor president, and he lived with a man, you know, another confirmed bachelor. So that's what they say.
James Buchanan.
But you're right. James Polk is a better answer.
Yeah, thank you.
How was Dustin's Obama impression?
I thought it was quite good. The freak dance was the best.
Yeah.
He had ladies, you know, like Tom Jones throwing their panties up on stage at him with his freak dance.
Awesome, awesome. And he was so nervous about taking the questions. What did he have reason to be nervous?
No, he was very good. He did a nice job.
Did he have any great moments of that you remember that stick out?
Yeah, one of the times we always had this thing that he was gonna fall back on and say that I am Superman. Uh-huh. And one of the times we got a question about how are you to plan to do this, Obama, and he didn't fall back to his Superman thing, and he said, well, there's something I have to confess to all of you now. I am Batman.
Wow.
And then he riffed on Batman a little bit, and it was kind of fun.
Because Obama is the Dark Knight.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
That makes all sorts of sense.
Yeah.
A Dark Knight with peach ears in Dustin's case. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. We'll hopefully have spring tour stories as we go along in these next couple of months. And I want to thank you all for your feedback to last week's Mac versus PC podcast. We'll hear many of your responses and keep that debate going in a future podcast. Send us your feedback to this week's podcast. Send it via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or leave us a message on our MySpace page at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare, or you can find us at facebook.com. You can also leave us a voice message using the microphone on your computer just by clicking the RSE voicemail button on our podcast page. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Golden Globe nominee Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Dagmar Mackey. No reason. It's just random. Special thanks to Niamh Crowley of the West Ocean String Quartet, Ireland's greatest four-piece group without a guy named Bono in it. They break down the walls between traditional and classical music, and you can check out their website for tour dates and CDs and all of their music at WOSQ.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 111 333rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.